Welcome to the third preseason Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2020. We finally got some football underway, recording this on the weekend of the first March preseason games, and pretty happy to have watched some games, although a bit upset that my Geelong Cats have lost. We're welcoming back, as we do each week, Mark OFB Donkey. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks, buddy. They did lose to the mighty Gold Coast Suns.
Oh, that wasn't good. That part definitely wasn't good. I gotta admit, I fell asleep in certain patches, but you know, we didn't have a lot of our elite players playing big minutes, so I'm attributing it to that. But it was good to see some of these younger Gold Coast kids run around, including both Anderson and Raul. I'm sure we'll talk about them as the preseason goes on. For this week's show, we have a special guest, which I'll introduce shortly. But before I do, we will be taking a slight change to or deviation to our normal structure for the preseason, where we normally attack it position by position. We instead this week are going to look at the top six averaging defenders and forwards from last year. And the reason for the change, I think it'd be good to focus on the players that we have a little bit more certainty around and leave some of the more speculative or breakout picks for after we've seen a little bit more preseason football. So a slight change, and hopefully that goes well. But very, very excited for our special guest for this week, who, if you are on the Twitterverse engaging in Supercoach content, you probably would have seen his tweets across the preseason, and that's Happy Raccoon. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, Marcus. Awesome to be here, and you guys have actually been a bit of an inspiration for me for many years, so it's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So I think your at handle is actually slightly different. Happy Raccoon was taken. So is it Laughing Raccoon on Twitter? We want to make sure you get those follows up, mate.
Yeah, it's at Laughing Raccoon, Raccoon with one C. But yeah, I go by the name of Happy Raccoon. That is me.
He's been posting some fantastic general advice on Supercoach and sort of what to take into consideration with your starting selections and so on. You've been part of our veterans community for a while now, so we've chatted to you for quite a few years behind closed doors, and I'll actually be extending out a veterans application. So if you're keen to join that group, we've got sort of a higher bar for entry. We're looking for elite coaches, but also people very willing and committed to having a chat and actually discussing things via a forum. If that sounds like you, join our veterans group and you can sort of delve into the heads of great coaches like the Raccoon. For those who are not across your resume, I'm going to read out your finishes very quickly and pump you up a little bit, mate. You finished 33rd in 2016, 35th in 2017, and 168th in 2019. And repped the first rank league with the Supercoach Coach community across 2018 and 2017. So, yeah, very, very good to have you on board, and looking forward to some little nuggets and different perspectives from you, mate.
Thanks, guys. I'm due for a fall from grace, I'm sure.
That's a pretty high grace, mate. 3 years top 200 in a row, two top 50 results. That's what most of us Supercoaches dream of, really.
Yeah, if we're not careful, the Raccoon might soon take over the show and it'll be Supercoach Raccoon instead. So we'll see how we go. Before we get into the content of the show, I'm just going to do our regular plugs as we do each week. So don't forget, if you are keen to support the show, join up as a Supercoach patron and get some bonus content. We record almost a show for every regular show that we release. You can join us at patreon.com/supercoachcoach. It helps out with the running costs of the show and also just gives us a little bit more security being able to continue this beyond our 12th year. So we thank our supporters very much so far. We've had some new support trickling in for season 2020 so far, and hopefully that keeps up over the preseason campaign. And if you join our Supercoach Coach Patreon group, you're also eligible to join our competition for the top scoring or top averaging Supercoach Coach Patreon. By the end of the year, we give $250 out to the winner of that group. So if you're keen to get involved in something like that, consider joining us. Otherwise, thank you for listening anyway. And you can also still represent the community by joining our public Supercoach Coach group. Information is posted with the podcast notes. And don't forget, signups for our Supercoach Coach ranked leagues are also open. So a few plugs there. Make sure you get involved in the community, and we're happy to have you on board. Let's go to the defenders and have a bit of a chat about how they averaged last year. We'll start off with Jake Lloyd, who was the top averaging defender last year. In terms of
total points as well. Lloyd was also number one overall, and he's the only one out of the forwards and defenders that both topped the rankings in terms of average and total points. So obviously durability in the pro column for Jake Lloyd. Does that translate to him being seen as almost the safest option in the back line this year?
I think that we need an explanation for why he dropped off at the end of last season. I know that some people have mentioned Dawson, but looking at the numbers, it may be Rampy that had a big effect there. So he had his highest average ever, and most of those big games were in the second half of the year. Do you know much about that, James?
I think there's enough doubt to definitely, for me, to not start him. I mean, I want to start players that have the potential to increase. And I think, what's he priced at? 110, 113 or something? I think going above that is unlikely. I think it's probably more 105 this year. So for that reason, it's highly unlikely I'll start him this year.
It's interesting looking at these defenders that we're going to go through here, Marcus. Almost every single one of them had their highest ever year last year. So in the list that we're looking at, the sort of top 10 or 11 from last year, the only ones that didn't have their best year were Rory Laird and James Sicily.
So some potential value there is what you're thinking then, Mark?
Well, kind of trying to work out what's going on here, because like they're not small bumps either. And you've got Basha Hooley and Shannon Hearn in their 30s that have had sort of 10-point jumps on their best average ever last year. So it did seem to be a very high-scoring year for defenders last year.
Now, I hadn't really thought about this prior to you bringing this up. So very, very sort of raw initial thoughts on this. But we did have some changes to team structure in terms of, you know, starting positions and how teams are set before a center bounce. We had some changes to the kick out, et cetera. Do you see some of these changes as being sort of systemic and permanent tweaks to Supercoach scoring or disposal patterns that will continue on from 2020? Or do you see this as potentially being a blip? Have either of you considered that lens?
I think there is some truth to it. I mean, you saw Shannon Hearn and Basha Hawley, as you say, have a significant bump. They've never averaged that high ever. And so there's definitely a pattern there. The issue that we have is that we've only had 1 year or one season of data in this new role. So do we just correlate that to the new structure change? I'm not sure. I don't know. Possibly. It'd be nice to have another couple of years of data to really understand whether there's a true pattern there, but we don't have that luxury. But for me, these Hooley and Hearn types, they're just priced so high. And it's just, they're old, injury prone, and yeah, it's tough to start them, I think.
I'd be interested to hear from your point of view, from a strategic point of view. Are you more likely to take a punt in terms of guessing what that future trend will be versus assuming that a regression to the mean will come?
I'm a fence sitter big time. I don't think it's definitely hard data, but I don't think you can ignore it. We have to go with the data that we have. So I think you have to lean towards the trends that we've seen last season. You know, the old kicking rule, there's definitely been a bump in some players. And I think you have to, you can't ignore that, I guess.
I think that I would expect some continuation of that. I think potentially the really interesting player is Rory Laird, because I know at the start of last year, a lot of people said that the new rules would not benefit him because he wouldn't be getting those cheap little kicks into the back pocket from kickouts. And he dropped off 10 points in scoring. So it'd be really interesting to see whether he bounces back this year. As James has said, a lot of these guys are overpriced and it's really hard to pick some of these players at the top of their curve. So they've had season best seasons by 10 points-ish and paying full price for someone like that. It's a bit tricky.
All right, let's go on to the next player down then. Basha Hooley finished with the second highest average for 2019, but he was eighth overall in terms of total points. So ability to get on the park hurt him a little bit. But he's one, I mean, when you look at Shannon Hearn, he'd already gotten to heights where he was in the top six defenders the year prior. Hooley's one that he's made a step, but he probably hasn't been such a premium defender in seasons past, even though he's been knocking on the door as sort of that next rung down. Any thoughts about Hooley and your potential of starting him in 2020?
Not in consideration for me. I did flirt with him for a minute, just injury history and age.
Yeah, I'm the same. Injury prone, massively injury prone. He had a great year last year. I actually had him, but just no way at that price. Old, he's never scored that high ever before. I think it's just all the signs are just pointing to no.
I'm sensing a bit of a repeating theme so far in terms of potentially looking for a bit of value here, which I'm not surprised after reading some of your tweets, and I quite appreciate because that mirrors what I look for in a starting selection. So, yeah, I agree with sentiments so far. How about Shannon Hearn, third highest averager last year, ninth overall in terms of total points?
Very, very similar to Hooley, I think. The one thing maybe makes him a little bit more enticing is the Eagles could be very, very good this year. That makes him probably a little bit enticing, but just at that point in their career that it's pretty hard to pick someone at that age.
Yeah, he's 32. He's had calf issues, I think, towards the end of last year. I think that's just a sign. We call it the old man's injury. I think there's a reason for that, and they could just keep popping up. He's priced the highest he's ever been. I can't see any value starting him. Sure, let's wait for him to play throughout the season, prove to us that he's still got what it takes and he's fit, and we can pick him up for cheaper during the season. I think it's just, again, a no to start with.
Yep, I agree with that. Next bloke is a fair bit younger and has shown a fair bit of upside and has got a bit of midfield minutes as well in the last season. Zach Williams averaged the fourth most overall. He was one of our locked-in starters for 2019, one of the things that certainly did go right. Still did miss games, so seventh overall in terms of total points. I certainly see him in a lot of starting teams. He seems like one of the more popular starting top six averaging options from last year's defensive pool.
And I think that that makes sense because he is younger, and if you look at his score trajectory, it's basically he's gone up in average every single season, and this is his seventh season now, and he's just broken that 100 barrier last year. So to me, that does say that he, out of all of them, could be, he's probably the most likely to enter my team, but still not in my team at the moment. I think my doubts are around the fact that the Giants just had so many midfield injuries last year that he got a lot more midfield minutes than he might going forward. So maybe I'm wrong about that, but just with a few players back this year, I'm not sure that he's going to get the same access to the ball and the same access to the midfield. So, but it's an absolute gun. Seventh year of playing, he did miss 2018, so somewhat in consideration for me.
He also did have an injury-affected game in round 9 where he only played 37% time on ground. If you take that out, his average jumps a little bit to 103. So he potentially is one of those 105-plus type players, which might make him a fair bit more attractive. How about yourself, Raccoon? How do you feel about Zach? Is he in your team at the moment?
No, he's not in my team, but he's a definite trade-in target. I think he still makes top six. As Donk said, he put out some very valid points about the midfield time last year. I think he goes back to defence this year. Did he come back from the preseason totally fit? Not so sure. But I think he probably goes back to 95 to 100. But I think it's good enough for the top six, but not to start with.
Well, I haven't heard a lot of starters so far, so it'll be interesting to hear who you're actually starting.
Yeah, I think it's a valid start. I think more so than the other ones.
Okay, next we've got Caleb Daniel. He's one that on total points slipped all the way down to 33rd, but he had the fifth highest average last year. He wasn't actually listed as a defender last year. He was available in the forward line, but was certainly a good selection in the patches that he played. Consistency was certainly there for Caleb. He racks up a heap of the pill and seems to make very good decisions, or at least make safe decisions when using the pill. Very, very few turnovers from that point of view. Do you see him continuing to play in the back line, and will that translate into some good scores this year, Mark?
I think yes and yes. So in the back line, scoring well, I probably have Zach Williams just ahead of him, so pretty unlikely to be in my starting team, but I still think he's a pretty decent pick if he can stay on the par. What about you, James?
Yeah, look, I think it's just a mirror image of last season. I think same role, same score. I think what we'll see is identical to what happened this year. So, yeah, I mean, people can start him for sure. I haven't yet, not to say he's a bad starting selection at all. There's a slight injury concern. I mean, he's not Dusty's or your Dangerfields of the competition, so that has to be factored in as a slight risk as well, I think.
All right, next player, Tom Stewart, to round out the top six averaging defenders from last year. When you look at overall points, Tom Stewart was second. He played all 22 games last year, averaging 98.2. 533K starting tag, but dual All-Australian already. I obviously have a clear bias towards Stewart. I don't feel like he potentially holds a heap of value, but in terms of a guy who comes on park pretty regularly and that I'm reasonably confident can stay in and around the mark. I've certainly looked at him already this preseason. Am I letting my Geelong bias shine through too much, Mark? Have you selected Tom Stewart at all?
Oh, based on that recommendation, I'm sure I'm to bring him in after the show. Happy Raccoon's first introduction to Marcus's complete and utter Geelong bias.
Listen to the podcast for years, guys.
Not a very sexy pick. I think he's at the top of his range already.
I know you look at durability a bit, Raccoon. What do you reckon about Stewart and does his durability help get him over the line or not enough value on offer?
I find Stewart really hard to read. 98, that's huge for his role. Does he continue? Can he build on that? I don't know. We don't have the luxury of him having a proven history. So there's no pattern there. He's peaked. Does that continue? Who knows? For that reason, I just can't. There is a bit of risk there starting him. Yeah, I'd rather just wait and see.
All right. So we've been through the top six averages for the back line last year. Maybe to conclude this section, just to go through and get your view on who of these six are most likely to fall out and who of these six you're most likely to start. Mark, can I put you on the spot?
Well, based on what we've seen in previous seasons, there's a really good chance that there will be like half of these guys won't be in the top six by the end of the year. Picking who that is a little bit tricky. I do like Lloyd, Hooley, Hearn, Williams and Daniel of being really good chances of averaging above or just slightly above 100 this year and making that top six, yet I'm very unlikely to start any of those guys. So I'm not sure whether that's helpful or not.
Not helpful at all. Raccoon, can you help us?
I'm pretty similar. I think the defense is really hard this year. I think Lloyd, obviously, he's a lock for top six. Look, I think Hearn can get there. Does he play every game? I think the games that he potentially loses drops him out of the top six, even though his average might actually be top six. Zach Williams, I think, will be top six. Caleb Daniel, I think, will be thereabouts. I do have question marks on Stewart and Hooley of those guys we've just mentioned.
I'm the same. I think I've got Lloyd, Williams and Daniel as the three most likely to stay. Hearn is probably the borderline sixth selection, and then Stewart and Hooley as the proper question marks. Outside of the top six defenders by average, when you look at total points, Rory Laird actually came third last year, Rich fourth, Sicily fifth, and Rampy sixth. Now, not going to go into them in large detail, but I'm wondering, do any of these four take your fancy and have any of them floated into your starting team so far this preseason?
Laird and Sicily do interest me a little bit just because they both dropped about, I think it was about 10 points each off their average last year. They have shown that they can go much higher and they could be underpriced and potentially sort of had their basement average scores last year, but still managed to be top six based on total points because of their durability. So those two are not in my team at the moment, but they interest me a lot more than those guys that are fully priced and missed games like Hooley and Hearn.
I do like Laird. I think the durability is huge. I think there's a consistent theme throughout my tweets, which is all about durability and the impact that non-durable players can have, especially during the season where you're upgrading every week as quick as you can to make that team. You don't want any deviation like sideways trading through there. So durability is huge. Roy Laird ticks that massive box. What did he have an average season last year? Still averaged 97. Wow. If Gibbs comes back into defense, Brody Smith moves into the midfield potentially. I don't think a lot varies for Laird. I think he sort of hovers around that 95 to 100 again. And with his durability, I think that's a strong selection. Rampy, wow, he had a massive second half of the last year, didn't he? The average like 120 something, didn't he? Like over a long patch of games. Never done it before though. He's definitely on my watch list. Not starting him though, I don't think. Daniel Rich, was that highest score ever? I think so.
Yep.
About 10. Yeah, look, yeah, so huge. He's always had that capability. I find him hard to read too. I just don't think he's got that power to go over and above 100. I think when he gets going, I think he gets shut down pretty quickly. And Sicily, look, again, I thought, who's coming to the side? So Frost, who's that guy that came across from Essendon? Anyway, there's some additional tools. So
I don't think Hartley will play.
And there's McAvoy as well, who's playing defensive role now as a tall. So who knows how that will go or whether that will continue, but hopefully James Sicily gets freed up. And if he does, I mean, what, his average 105 before, Can he do that again? Potentially. Does he get thrown forward again? Potentially. I think there's risk there in his role, but I think the potential upside with Sicily has me interested. Probably out of those four, Laird and Sicily are most interested. Rich, there's not that pattern of top scoring that I'd like to see, and he's getting on a bit. And Rampy, wow, I don't know. I don't know how to read Rampy, so I'll just watch him into the season.
Cool. Let's move on to the forwards now, and we'll start with Lockie Whitfield, who was the top averaging forward, obviously not available in the forwards last year. It was actually available for us in the back line, which was pretty nice, but a forward for season 2020 is 12th overall if you look at total points, having missed a few games. But in terms of average, he's clear in a way sort of that top tier option. Is he a lock then for most teams? It does come at a price premium, but looking at that upside, you've got to be pretty tempted.
As I discussed sort of at the end of last week's show, not in my current team. Main concerns are durability. Is he at the top of his scoring potential? Like, so is he fully priced? Interesting to see how he goes with sort of more, maybe a more stacked Giants midfield. Does he go back to halfback this year? So is there some role issues there that might potentially cap his scoring? I don't think he's a bad pick. I think that I can totally understand why people are picking him. I am probably leaning towards gambling against him at the moment just because of my team structure, and I don't really want to spend that much money on a forward. And like, I can have potentially Clayton Oliver in my team instead of Lockie Whitfield, but he's still a chance to come in before round one. Like, his scoring potential being so far ahead of everyone else, and the fact that he broke out sort of and former number one pick went up to 111 last year, he could potentially go higher depending on his role. So there's some chance he comes in, but more than likely not a starter. What about you, James?
He has been in my side at times, but getting back to the value, these top tier guys, I mean, he's a lock for top six, you would assume, but at that price, it's a lot to pay up front, especially when there's a premium attached to it. I mean, he had an injury in round six. You exclude that game, he actually averaged 116. So it's actually pretty good. So if you look at that, it's actually not so bad. But what did he come off? What did he have, double ankle surgery or something in the preseason? Look, I think he'll go back to halfback. He is injury prone. I think there's a lot of ticks in the con box that make me a little bit nervous starting him. I think waiting is probably a low risk option. I don't think he screams and belts out a 130 average from here and burns us. I think he'll either hover around that or lower, in which case I'm happy to wait at this stage, pending more information.
Wow.
He's in your team though, Marcus?
He's in and out. Like you say, the price that you have to pay for him is a little bit scary, but if I look at the forwards, the only two that I have absolute confidence in selecting in the preseason in terms of ending up as a top six forward, or actually scratch that, even top three forward, are Whitfield and Martin. I'm pretty sure Martin and Whitfield will occupy two of the top three, and that makes it hard to pass them up when you have such a difference between the rest of the pool. It feels a bit like the Rucks selection to me, but the difference between the Rucks and the forwards is that there's more opportunity to bring them in down the track, and so that's where you start getting tempted or you start considering sort of the value stakes with which sort of, I guess, Whitfield doesn't necessarily offer the same potential value as some of the other players. So let's get on to the next bloke who's also had a career best season. Michael Walters actually finished with the top points overall for the starting forward for 2020. Second overall from a average point of view. Bit disappointed because I've selected him in seasons past hoping for the pick to pay off, and it finally did in a year I didn't select him. Mark, where do you sit on Walters, mate?
I've never actually picked him before. I wish I had him last season. For me, a breakout in your 11th year is probably a little bit too late, and I would be unlikely to start him in a Freo lineup that is likely to change quite a lot this year. I'm not quite sure exactly what role he's going to play from week to week, and has had some durability concerns in the past. So just very unlikely to start in my team.
There was a tweet. Oh, I can't remember who tweeted it, but when he was in the midfield, he averaged 106. And when he was in the forward line, he averaged 74 last year. So again, really comes up to the role. I really don't know what role he plays. I've heard a lot of people seem to think he's going to play through the midfield, but I don't know. And with that risk, I tend to be sort of risk averse. I tend to be a safe Supercoach player. So if there's any doubt, I tend to just sort of wait and see on these guys, unless there's some serious value that's going to present. What role do you think he's going to play, Marcus?
I wouldn't be able to pick a role for him for the entirety of the season. I certainly think that Walter's role will shift throughout the season, but that was the same reason I didn't pick him last year. I had picked him in the years prior. Like I said, I think in 2018 I might have picked him. I tend to gravitate toward his flashy upside. I think, you know, his foot skills, his ability to convert round goals, like there's heaps of things that are really attractive. But the thing that I struggle with, especially for starting selection, is like, do I know he's going to be playing in a role that's going to hold up for 22 rounds? Because I've picked him in a season where that hasn't been the case. I guess we don't have Ross Lyon now, so we've got like maybe less of an enigma as a coach to be able to pick through that. But picking a guy who's injury prone at career high average is something that's naturally very challenging to do. So he's not really a serious consideration for mine. But the next guy, Dusty, he's basically my first locked forward. I think he's available on the forward line for the first time in a little while since he broke out as a midfielder. Only averaged 100 last year, played the 20 games, currently in 57% of teams at time of recording, which isn't actually the top selected forward because the top selected is Whitfield. So I know, compared to the average punter out there, we are a lot more hesitant on Whitfield. I wonder whether that is the same with Martin.
Absolute massive lock. Super durable. Midfielder available as a forward. Provides a little bit of value, like he's got some upside potential. You wouldn't expect him to average much less than he did now this last year. Easy pick.
Yeah, lock him in. Durable. Cool. Arguably the most durable premium that we've had over his entire career. He's just so durable. Should average 105. We'll go forward, but who cares? You can still do anything, really. So it's that durability, really, that really just gets me excited.
Next guy, I wouldn't call a picture of durability. He's past 35 now. But Gary Ablett actually played 21 games last year. He's starting as the fourth highest averaging forward for 2020 off a 95.7 average. In only 1% of teams at the moment, belying the fact that this is probably his last season and people are anticipating a bit of a drop-off. I'm guessing those sentiments are going to be echoed fairly resoundingly across both of you.
That 1% figure is too high.
All right, why don't we just go straight to the next player there, Isaac Heaney. Now, he's certainly an interesting one, being a staple of our forward lines for a few seasons now, fifth highest average from last year, but actually the second highest in terms of total points for season 2019. Isaac Heaney played the 22 games by the end of the season, averaged 94. And really, I think a lot of us would have been disappointed that he had to play a larger role covering Buddy than we would have otherwise liked last year. That's certainly something that I think people would be looking forward to him relinquishing potentially some of that pressure in 2020. What do you reckon about Heaney?
Yeah, it was definitely a burden having him last year, even though you said he's played 22 and ended up like second out of the remaining forwards, the ones that haven't moved away into different positions. Didn't work out as a pick. And I do remember watching that last preseason game, and he did come off with an ankle injury, and I just didn't realize how serious it was. And apparently he played the whole year with that injury, which affected his output, plus the fact that that Sydney midfield is pretty deep, and so they've had to use him forward probably more than you would have liked. And I think that the plan this year is the same, that he'll probably play that forward more than we'd probably like from a Supercoach perspective. He has also missed a whole bunch of the preseason with a broken thumb, but is expected to be right for round one. He was definitely in my early drafts of teams. Just absolutely love him. A massive fan. Sixth season. He's averaged over 94 three times in a row. Pretty durable, just sort of gets out on the park every week. He's a chance of coming into my team, but at this stage, he is not. What about you, James?
He was actually one of the first picked in my team.
Wow.
That has changed. But I've gone a little cold on him. I mean, he's an absolute gun, and as Mark said, he played through injury all last year, and that was very much documented. So, I mean, he still averaged 94. He was still in the top six, I believe. Surely it's only up from here, but the latest reports I have seen have him playing more forward time than last year. He was thrown around a little bit last year, but just that distinct commentary saying that he'll play more forward time, I think, has me a little bit worried. So he's in and out at the moment, but he's certainly not a lock like he used to be.
Toby Green, sixth highest averager overall to cap off the forwards. 93.9 was his average last year. So you can see in our forward line, we've really dipped quite low in terms of top six averages. When you look at overall points, He's sitting at 38, having missed six games last year. Was a former top six averaging forward in prior seasons as well. So certainly one of the premier forwards in the competition. Are we anticipating an injury-free year and him potentially offering up some value? And maybe the most interesting thing about Green was he got some midfield time last year when a few of their midfields were out, which really helped boost his average. I wonder if you consider that as a possible reoccurrence in 2020, Mark?
Same commentary every season on Green. If he played at a different club, I'd definitely pick him because he'd be their star midfielder. He misses too many games, and I think he's too good as a forward at the Giants, and they have too many other good midfielders, so he'll likely play a bunch of time forward, so not even on my radar.
Yeah, not on the radar, certainly not to start with. I think, if anything, that midfield time in the last year has just increased his price, so is this even less value at this stage? But yeah, sure, if he turns it on during the season, then obviously we'll all be watching him, but I just think his injury risk and going back to that forward line, I think, is just a no for me.
And suspension risk as well. All right, let's look at two final options outside of the top forwards by average, the top forwards by total rank, fifth and sixth we haven't talked about yet. I'm guessing we may not have to spend a heap of time on them, but it's actually Jack Zabel and Tom Hawkins, which may be a bit surprising to some. Would you consider either of these as a starting selection? I know Zabel played a fair bit of time up forward, but he also ended up doing a bit of time in the midfield in the second half of last season, which really helped push his average up. Any thoughts about either of those two blokes?
Yeah, Zabel did average a bit more over the back half of the year. I haven't honestly considered him, to be honest, too many times, and not quite high enough average at any point in his career. What about you, James?
Yeah, no, I think he's just never quite got there. He's always been teasing us at stages, but I think he's never proven himself. He's never really got there. And what is he, reaching 30, 28 or 29? I think he's just, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to go there. I mean, if he turns it on during the season and there's a clear role change and he's in the guts the entire time, then yeah, sure, maybe. But I can't say, there's too much risk.
All right, so let's finish up the podcast with maybe just giving ourselves a top three ranking for the guys that we've talked about so far. And maybe we'll start with the back line. Are you happy to be put on the pump, Mark? Can I give you the first pass at that?
Sure. I will go back line, at best average for the year, Lloyd, Williams, and Laird.
I'm actually going to say pretty similar. I had Lloyd and Williams as the two standouts, and not necessarily in average, but in terms of who I'm likely to start. I think I've got probably Williams, then Lloyd at this stage. And then if I were to dip into the third, it'd probably be Laird out of the defenders we've talked about so far.
Yep, direct copy.
Yeah, I think Laird, Sicily, Williams.
Marcus, if it was likely to start, I would have the same list as James there. And I think that what we'll get to in a future show and the sort of the elephant in the room that we're not talking about is Doherty and potentially Dan Houston as well. That a lot of the commentary that we're probably given today, and I'm guessing that this is probably true for James as well, is that a lot of the commentary is based on those two guys being available that are from a different rank and maybe providing a bit of value.
That's a good call. Interesting that you're both looking so closely at Sicily in terms of value. I mean, that makes sense with his drop-off last year. All right, how about the forwards, if we can put you under the same pump? Maybe let's do not the average, but your likelihood to start.
Likelihood to start, Dusty, number one by a long way. And out of the ones that we've discussed, probably Whitfield and Heaney. But I think that there's a bunch of players sort of 380 to 450 that I'd be considering.
I'd agree with that. I'd have that same order, actually. Martin, one, Whitfield, two, and Heaney, three. And probably only Dusty is the one that I'm quite certain on. So it feels like from both the defenders and the forwards, this year is the year that we're chasing a little bit more value outside of the top six options. And that really gels quite well with the fact that when we were reflecting on the midfielders, there seemed to be quite a clear cut of the top eight there. So if the rookies allow, it will be something that I think a lot of coaches will try and do, pick the midfield premiums with a bit more certainty and letting the forward and backline options play out a little bit more over the course of the season and starting with a few more value selections to reflect that fact. How about yourself, James, in terms of the forwards we talked about so far and your likelihood to start them?
Yeah, so Dusty number one, Heaney and Whitfield I find hard to split. Just based on price and value, Heaney's got doubts, but Whitfield's got doubts as well. Whitfield's probably more destined to be top six or more certain to be. Putting me on the spot, I'll go Dusty, Whitfield, Heaney.
Yeah, Is there any chance that you start all three of them?
I think you made a comment before about Whitfield versus Oliver. I think that's a pretty good comparison, and I'd rather take Oliver, and that's sort of what I've been battling with through the preseason. That may change. Obviously, when the rookies come through, our structure will be known as to who we can fit where, but probably low, because I think there's some other value options I'm interested in.
All right. Thank you very much, gents, for your time. We spent a bit of time talking and recapping on the top options from last year, and I think the thing that I'm most sure of isn't the specific players that I'm going to pick, but more that there is a lot of opportunity in the value selections in both those lines this year. And it reflects the fact that if we were to do the backline and forward show this week, I think we both felt, Mark and I, that we would have struggled a little bit more in terms of giving concrete advice and where our hearts were lying. So we're looking forward to a few more games of the preseason and clarifying a bit more of our ideas around some of the value players. Mark, you touched on a couple of the names already, including Dan Houston, who played a fair bit of time in the midfield last year, but still available in the back line. So maybe just to wrap up, any sort of final thoughts or comments on the forwards or defenders we've discussed or on any broader strategy that we've touched on?
Probably a little bit more agreement today than I'd anticipated. I think that most of the agreement was around who we are not picking, and that a lot of the options that we sort of covered today probably overpriced and not presenting enough value on their lines. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, not really much to add, I don't think, based on what we've talked about today.
Well, it's been very, very good to have you on, mate. And if the time permits, we'll try and squeeze in a quick bonus before we let you both go. To our listeners, don't forget patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Get involved in our leagues, register for the ranked leagues, join our Supercoach group, et cetera. Thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to watching a bit more football. And next week, we'll either go to the back line or forward line and talk about some of these breakout candidates. Awesome. Thank you very much, and catch you next week. See ya.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.